Hey, what's going on, guys? JJ here from Free Magic Live with also my good buddy, Magical G. Say what's up?
How you going, guys?
Hey, guys, I got a really, really cool, another friend of mine called Simon from freemagictricksforyou.com. He's a good friend of mine on the internet world, with the magic world, and I wanted to get his thoughts and advice from being a professional magician and his thoughts in life and thoughts in magic. But I also have very something special for you, of which Magical G is going to tell you about.
Yeah, this is something we haven't done before. It's basically, well, I don't want to reveal too much, but let's say there's a special announcement right at the end of this interview. So please listen to the interview, and right at the end, there's something special that we'd like to tell you about that we haven't done before in the history of Free Magic Live. So it's pretty special, but just hang on for that right until the end. I guess I can tell you what you're going to be listening to inside this interview. Simon's really given us a lot of really, really cool advice and information on the ins and outs of being a really successful magician. But the sort of stuff that he covers is, firstly, he talks about, you know, how he got into the whole magic world and how this could be an inspiration to you if you want to follow in his footsteps. He also talks about how the internet can help you become famous as a magician. He goes over how to overcome your main fears when performing magic tricks. He provides us with some foolproof strategies to help you recover from mistakes during a magic performance. This was just gold. I really loved that one. And, you know, how to start making money from your magic. I think a lot of you will be really interested in that bit. And then Simon closes the interview off with his one piece of advice that will really take you from an amateur to a super successful magician. So it was a really, really cool interview. And I think you'll really love it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we had a really great time of interviewing him, and he's a really cool guy. He's a really fun guy, and you'll really enjoy the interview because, we had fun doing it, as I said. So
sure did.
Anyway, guys, and let us know your thoughts from it, and make sure you stay to the end because we've got something very special for you, and look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hi, everybody. This is Magical G here,
and me is and JJ. Thanks for introducing me there, Magical G.
No problem, JJ. Today we have a very exciting interview with Simon, Simon Crack from, guess where, freemagictricksforyou.com. So we found Simon through the internet, and we noticed that he's been doing some pretty exciting things online and on YouTube. He's got like heaps of views on his YouTube videos. We thought, hey, we've got to interview this guy and find out, you know, pick his brain a little bit about what's going on with magic online these days.
Yeah, and you probably have actually, you know, if you're interested in the magic thing on YouTube, you probably actually already have seen some of Simon's stuff. So Magical G and I wanted to do a nice interview with him and get his thoughts on magic and his life and a bit about his backstory. So, welcome, Simon. How you doing, man?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
Great.
Yeah, thanks for having me anyway. And, I'm good. Glad to be here. This is my sort of first interview, so be gentle. But, you know, any questions you want to ask me, then I'm here to answer them for you guys.
Well, cool. Get ready for 3 hours of non-stop questions about magic history. Here we go.
Excellent. I'm here for it.
Cool, man.
Thanks for joining us, Simon.
Well, that's right. Thanks, guys.
Why don't we kick off this interview with you telling us a little bit more about yourself, like your backstory and how you got interested in magic the first time.
I think for anybody, it's when you're sort of young, you first sort of get into it, and it's the same for me. I mean, since I was sort of a young kid, I was always sort of fascinated by magicians on telly, and you know, just since I was about the age of 7, I guess, and sort of nagging my parents to buy me my first sort of magic kit, and sort of it all spiraled from there, really.
Awesome.
And yeah, and sort of since then, I've spent obviously thousands and thousands of pounds worth, like it's easy to do, on magic tricks and gadgets and gizmos. And I decided enough was enough. I'd sort of spent enough on actually, you know, buying magic. And I thought, you know, let's turn it around a bit and actually, you know, sort of teach some magic. So that's sort of really where my website came from.
Yeah, well, tell our viewers and the people listening at home a bit of the backstory behind that. Like, why did you do it, and what, you know, what you do with your website?
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, my background is actually from graphic design. So, I mean, that's obviously why there's sort of quite a few like flashy graphics and stuff on my site. It's because I'm sort of quite into that. But that's where I first started, and we did sort of marketing as well at the company. And so that was obviously a good thing for me to then take into my site. But basically, I knew about 3 or 4 years ago, I knew I wanted to build a website, but I didn't really know how to. And it was just a case of sort of figuring out what I was going to do, figuring out how I was actually going to be on the internet, you know, for anyone to actually find me. I knew I had hundreds and hundreds of tricks sort of going on in my mind, and I knew that if I didn't write them down or actually, document them in some way, I'd forget them. And I thought that'd be a waste. So I thought, right, let's make a website. And, 3 or 4 years later, here I am, and it's doing okay. So,
well, look, you're doing what most people probably want to do. And you're taking action. And that's one of the biggest things I tell everyone in Magic and all the people listening, it's taking action, actually doing, getting out there and performing or doing what you actually love, not sitting back and complaining all the time, actually doing it. And that's really powerful.
Yeah, getting out there. Yeah, it is, like you said, it's the taking action, really. There's all right, okay, reading the theory, but unless you actually, do it, then, it's not going to happen, is it? So.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so probably, like, our viewers would like to hear, like, what is it about Magic that you love so much? What drives you about it?
I think, for me especially, it's just, it's great. I mean, watching people's faces when you do a trick to them, that absolutely blows their mind. They can't fathom out how the hell you did that. And most of the time it's so simple, and that's so funny, because exactly how simple it is, and people are going off their heads, and finding it amazing. So it's just, I think it's just that it's the reaction, and it's a talking point as well. Whenever you're the person that does magic tricks, it's always you're the magic guy, aren't you? It's builds your status up a bit, and gets you more friends, I've found, anyway.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that as well with JJ. He's, whenever he performs magic, people's faces just light up, and they think he's the cool guy. And, it's interesting what you're saying about your videos on YouTube as well, that, when you see the effect, you think, wow, that's so powerful, and then you see the solution, you think, oh, okay. So it's not all that complicated, but the effect of magic is just so amazing.
Exactly. That's just the effect. I always used to like rewinding, playing a trick over and over and over again, and I always do that. I'd record a show, it might be one of these old shows on tape, and I'd rewind, play it about 100 times perhaps until I actually figured out exactly how the trick was done.
Awesome.
And so I just had to. I had to find out how it was done. So I guess there's a part of that in there as well. So, liking to be, but needing to find out how it's actually performed. So
yeah, well, no, I think I remember doing that on there's a TV show called The World's Greatest Magic, and there was this clip once when this guy produced a helicopter, and I was like, what the heck? How did the it's on stage? And I remember them I said to the TV, it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna play that in slow motion, and the guy on the presenter said, now let's play it in slow motion, and he called my bluff.
Right.
And then they played it in slow motion twice, and it's like, okay, I still can't figure out how it's done. So I'm like, geez.
Yeah. I'd get that all the time. Like, I think the first time, the effect the crazy man handcuffs with the elastic bands.
Yeah.
You link and unlink them. It's actually on my site, but when I first saw that trick, that was years ago. And I thought, how the hell, does that work? And I recorded it, and I rewound it, played it. I must have played it 100-200 times maybe with rubber bands in my, on my fingers. And I sort of recreated the moves, and eventually I figured it out myself how it was actually done. So that's one of the tricks anyway that's on my site, which may not be exactly how everyone else does it, but that's kind of the way I figured it out for myself. So.
So what's your favourite trick, Simon?
Whatever, or
yeah, ever on the one that maybe the favorite trick that you like to perform.
At the moment, I really like. I mean, it's a gimmicky type effect, but at the moment, I'm having fun with delights. I don't know if you've used those before.
Oh, I have.
Maybe
explain that a bit.
To everyone at home.
Well, basically, the it's basically sort of producing lights from your fingertips, on either hand, so you can actually produce lights, make them disappear, vanish, you know, appear from everywhere. And at the moment, I'm just sort of having a blast with them. I've had mine for years, and just lately sort of got them back out of my magic trick arsenal and just been performing them, and just absolutely blowing people's minds. And it obviously during the daytime it's not as effective, but especially at nights, if you're in pubs, bars, clubs, you can really draw attention, because especially when you've got those sort of people dancing around with those sort of flashing lights and stuff, and thinking they're all cool, and you just sort of reach over and produce a ball of light from nowhere, and they just absolutely floored. They don't know how the hell you've done it. And I've just recently been having a blast with those. So at the moment, they're my favorite trick.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I'm in the same boat. You'll buy something a couple of years ago, and then you put that away in your cupboard, and then you'll bring it out again. You're like, wow, this is actually really good. Why didn't I get into this when I first started? You know what I mean? But it's definitely how it is. Sometimes. But like, it sounds like you do perform a bit. Whereabouts do you perform your magic at the moment?
I tend to, whenever I'm going out and about, I do tend to take the odd trick or two. So just in case, because when people tend to know, you do magic, then, you get asked a lot. And if you haven't got a trick, then, that's no good. So, I tend to take the odd trick around. And like I say, it might be out with friends, pubs, bars, clubs, perhaps, it just might be gatherings, just wherever there's people. And whenever I'm chatting, and I might mention I've got my, magic website, and they'll be like, oh, right, and they'll ask you some questions, and then obviously, inevitably, I'll throw in a trick there, just to show them what I can do. So
they always got to challenge you, like, oh yeah, you're a magician, you show me a trick. Doesn't happen with a tax or an accountant. You don't go, oh, bring your statements and do my tax, do you?
This is true. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, with anything like performing, I guess. Yeah. And I always say to them, hey, I'm not a performing bear, you can't just make me do this, right here, right now. But, that's good fun anyway.
I know. So, like, do you have a favourite magician that you like to watch, or someone that's maybe influenced you?
Oh, loads over the years. When I was younger, really, really small, it's the British magician Paul Daniels. You've obviously heard of him. He was all over the telly at the time, and he was the first sort of kit magic trick set that I got. And since then, you've got sort of Lance Burton and the Pendragons. Obviously, nowadays, Chris Angel and David Blaine. But, I mean, sort of growing up, Penn and Teller was another favourite, just because they were sort of, I don't know, they'd show you how to do tricks, but they were sort of on the edge as well, sort of really grim, gross sort of stuff that they sort of came out with some effects. But just loads, I mean... It's a shame nowadays that there isn't as much magic on telly, because, I sort of do miss the heyday of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, people seem to really love magic. I mean, we've just set up freemagiclive.com about 5 months ago now. We started on the 1st of April 2009. And it's just crazy how the interest, of number of people that we've been getting visiting the site. And, we'd like to hear from you. Why do you think that people love magic so much? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's just the unbelievable, isn't it? It's making stuff that shouldn't happen, I guess. And people just love that. I mean, kids like it, adults like it. It crosses boundaries. It crosses race and everything. So I mean, you can go to a foreign country where someone can't speak English, or and you can just show them something, and you can see it on their faces, they'll be amazed. So I think it's just because it crosses the barrier, really, of just everything, and it's just fun, isn't it? It's good fun. At the end of the day, you don't do this to be sort of a number cruncher accountant behind a desk. That's not so much fun, is it? But doing magic, that's fun. So
yeah, no, I definitely agree, and it's funny when sometimes you look back at old performances and you start to realize how much fun the audience has. They get into this little world, and where you create wonder for them, and that what if factor. If you really could levitate, or if you really could make something, a coin disappear and make it appear in your other hand, it's just that. Yeah. That.
isn't it? It's escapism as well, I guess, you know, from day-to-day boring life, so.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, and that's what I was talking to Magical G about before, you know, how it's everyone's so conditioned into this 9-to-5 lifestyle of you know, work, and then, you know, go out on the weekend, but, like, you know, and when they see your magic, it just, it stops them in their tracks, you know. You don't have, it doesn't matter if you're 5 or you're 50 or, you know, if you're from a, as you said, it breaks language barriers, and it, you can really find the childlike person inside of someone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been surprised with my site that, you know, I thought when I first did it, I thought, yeah, it should be children, you know, kids viewing my site. Now, there is that, but I also get a lot of females, which I didn't think, you know, necessarily would be that interested. I get a lot of older people. I get a lot of sort of, you know, retiring guys who are, you know, learning magic for their grandchildren. So, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised at how sort of it's crossed the, you know, the age threshold as well as anything else. So
yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because Magical G, he was telling me the other day that, like, what's our market?
Well, it's interesting. When we look at our YouTube statistics, we have two spikes. One is for the age group between 13 and 18, I think.
Yeah.
And then we have another spike at between 45 and 50.
Yeah, and that sounds about right for me as well.
And it's strange, you know, because we, you know what happens to everyone else in between. But it's very interesting.
I think they're just living their lives, and then they, you know, I don't know. You get to a certain point, and you want to go back to your childhood, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I think you're right. Definitely think you're right. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting, this whole internet thing. We talked to you a little bit about it before we started the interview, but how have you? How do you think the internet has helped magic?
It's definitely obviously taken it into a new direction. You know, with the internet, you can reach so many more people than, you know, necessarily on telly or, you know, on shows. I mean, I get people from literally around the world, you know, from obscure countries I've never even heard of emailing me, you know.
Yeah.
And so, watching my tricks. So, you know, the internet just, it can reach so many people. It's just sort of, it's global, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, it is. It's one of those crazy things. I think the internet has changed magic a lot. I think when I first got into magic, I saw David Blaine on TV, and I was, you know, I had the whole magic kits beforehand and stuff. Then I saw him at a friend's house, and then I pretty much did the same thing. You know, I went on Google and I went how to do street magic, and I pressed enter, and the first site that came up was a really funky, you know, hip, trendy site, and I bought the video straight away, and that's how it got me back into magic. And it's just like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely is. So much more accessible. So
definitely. Well, actually, you know, we're talking about Magical G and I were talking about today. Like, do you have any, or, you know, what are some ways that you overcome fear when performing magic? Because I find that, you know, if fear is a massive, massive thing, not just with magic, but within, you know, the world, you know, people get this fear of what will people think of me. And I think people, especially when they, you know, you can, knowing a trick is one thing, but going out and performing that is another thing. And people have this fear of what happens if they, you know, what if they think I'm a weirdo or something like that.
Wrong, or if they laugh at me or,
yeah. So what, would you have any personal ways to overcome these fears and maybe give a couple of pieces of advice to everyone at home?
It is tough because, I mean, even I, you know, get, you know, feel scared or intimidated, you know, going out showing a trick, even though you might practice it a million times. But I think, A, you've just got to go out and do it, you know, and just, you know, get, even though you might be scared, just do it, because at the end of it, you'll be much more happy that you've done it than you would if you just, you know, bottled it and didn't actually do it. A lot of it, I just use humour as well, you know, just sort of mess about, do it as, you know, perform it as if you're messing around. And then, you know, if it works, if you mess it up, then you've just been joking about. But if you pull it off really well, then they're going to be absolutely floored. So it's almost like a Tommy Cooper type of, you know, effect. Mm. He'd always be joking around and you'd be laughing with him. But then suddenly he'd perform that trick that was, you know, amazing. And you'd just be sort of blown away. So I use humour more than anything, just to sort of mess around. And, you know, because I'm messing around, if it messes up, you know, it doesn't matter. We were just joking anyway, kind of thing. So that's how I do it anyway.
Yeah. So that's your main strategy for if something goes wrong during a magic performance, you just kind of.
I just shrug it off. Say I just sort of joke about it and maybe perform another trick, and then you know, 9 times out of 10, the second one, you'll nail it. And people forget about the one you messed up. You know, they just thought that was a joke, and you know, they're more interested in the one that you've just done. So, yeah, I don't worry about it too much.
Have you ever had any like hecklers or someone that gives you, you know, hassles you during a performance? And you know, how do you deal with those guys?
Yeah, I think everyone gets them from time to time. I had an email the other day actually from a guy who said, you know, I'm performing this David Blaine, you know, levitation, and telling people to stand, you know, where the, you know, I want them, and they keep coming around to the front, and I'm trying to, you know, to tell them, you know, get back. And I sort of just said to him, it's tough. You're going to come across people like that. And to be honest, if they're really hassling you, then just walk away. You know, there's no point. Some people are, you know, just like that anyway. Whereas you'll get nice people who are, you know, sort of follow your instructions and you know, are there for the trick. Whereas some people are just there to sort of kind of mess you up. So, you know, I guess what I'd say is if they're really heckling and really bad, just walk away. But I mean, if they're just general, you know, sort of smart Alex, and you know, then just sort of make a joke of them. You know, just sort of take the mickey out of them, and that usually shuts them up. That's yeah. What I find anyway.
Or you could pretend you just, you know, you get a massive, like, you know, urge from the whatever, from the universe, and like you physically, I cannot perform this illusion, this levitation, you know, the gravitation.
Yeah, exactly.
The world is pulling me down.
I don't mean sort of just walk off in a huff. I mean, yeah, just make up an excuse, like you say, and just sort of, just end it. I mean, it's no point, you know, trying to actually do anything in that situation there, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's say someone's, you know, learned a few tricks, they've got a bit of performing experience under their belt, and they go, wow, I would like to make, you know, start making, you know, a bit of money doing magic or performing. What would you say, what would be some advice for people out there who want to take their magic to the next level, where they can, you know, get a bit of cash from this and maybe even turn it into a living?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just say go for it. I mean, you know, we're a testament that you can do that. Just go out on the streets, do some nice busking, or you know, you can buy, you know, a trick for, you know, a couple of dollars, and you could be performing it over and over again out on the street, you know, and earn some money that way. Or do what, you know, we do and actually make a website on it. You know, there's so much you can do. Or be a professional, you know, go around, do table hopping. You know, I when I was younger, I did birthday parties and you know, shows for different people, and you know, there is definitely a lot of money to be made. You know, for an hour a show, you can make quite a bit of money. So, you know, there's various things you can do. First thing is just go out and do it. You know, get out on the streets, do performing.
Yeah, and I definitely think that you probably agree with this, that I don't think people should maybe rush into it straight away, you know, really get that performing experience under their belt, go and perform on the street for free and just observe life and observe how things work. And then, you know, when they're ready, or when so many people are asking to do gigs for them, maybe that's the next time for them to move up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, don't just sort of jump into your first show. That's not a good idea. But yeah, definitely just, yeah, get out there and start performing, like I say, for free, and just see how it goes. So definitely.
Simon, how do you think magic has changed from Copperfield to David Blaine and Chris Angel?
I think it's become more cool, actually, to be honest. David Copperfield's great and everything, but I think he's getting a bit of a bad rap, sort of for the bit cheesy, a bit, you know, kind of, a bit goofy. And I guess sort of when David Blaine and Chris Angel kind of sort of moved it on again, I think it just became a bit more cooler to actually be doing, you know, street magic rather than on a stage prancing around in, you know, big flares, you know. So I think it's just become cooler.
Do you like do you have a preference in performers of David Blaine, Chris Angel, or do you just you know, enjoy watching them both?
Yeah, I like watching them both. I mean, they're both similar in that they've got the sort of deadpan you know, kind of persona, and I guess that's it's working for them. So, but you can kind of tell behind them, you know, behind the personality they put across, that they're sort of, you know, that it is actually a showmanship, you know, they're actually, you know, that is a character that they're playing, really.
Yeah, definitely. So here's a good one for you. Ready for this one? Ready for this question?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right.
It's a tough one.
What was that? Something like that.
Now that one's coming up.
Where do you think magic is going or will go in the next 5 years? Where do you think it's all moving to?
It's a good question. Since I started, I mean, the internet's exploding. Video is becoming more and more popular on the web than it is anywhere else. So I can only see more and more magic on the internet, you know. Like I say, at the moment, there's hardly any shows that we have over here anyway of magic on telly, on TV, you know. So I think it's just all going to just move to the internet even more. Just going to have, you'll probably have live shows, streaming, you know. And all sorts. So I think the internet is the way it's going to go big time for magic anyway in the next few years. But the thing with magic, it never dies out, does it? It's always been there from, you know, the year dot to now. I mean, there might be lulls. It might become in and out of fashion, but it's still always there. And there's still someone there, you know, always showing you a trick or doing this, that and the other. So I think that's a good thing for us as well. You know, there's longevity in this... this game anyway.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I really think it's funny how when you sometimes look back at how magic started, you know, you've got Houdini, then you've got sort of Copperfield, who made it a bit hip in the 90s, then you brought David Blaine and Chris Angel, then, you know, a big performer like Darren Brown, who's, you'd probably know him back to front in the UK, he just became huge. And then, you know, like it's funny how it all works, and, you know, like the prestige and the illusions will come out and the magic gets a lot cooler again, and, you know, you might get busier, and it's... I definitely agree, you know, internet is the way, you know, everyone wants everything, you know, straight away, and they want to watch something 24/7. So, you know, magic's great like that.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree.
Okay. Random question, Simon. This is the real question of the interview.
Yeah, he's real nuts and bolts. Sorry.
What's your favorite food and why?
No, really. I like all sorts of food. Spaghetti bolognese is one of my favourites, I must say.
Nice.
Not a particularly English dish, but I don't know, pasta and meat, you can't go wrong, can you?
And cheese.
Yeah, you got to have
the
cheese.
And cheese, yeah. And, you know, some garlic bread perhaps. So, I mean, that's probably my favourite.
Cool, man, cool. All right, well, look, let's ask you this. If there was one piece of advice that you would like to give to budding new magicians, what would that be?
Don't give up, I would say. You know, just keep practicing. It can be, when you're first starting out, it can be quite demoralizing when you're trying to learn a trick and it just keeps going wrong, you know. And you might show it to your cat or you show it to your dog and it just mess up and you'll be, oh, I'm never going to get it. But I just say keep practicing because, you know, there's just certain tricks that it might be a sleight of hand trick or something that if you do it over and over, you know, again, enough times, suddenly it just sort of clicks and your brain or your hand just gets it. And, you know, a minute ago you may have been rubbish at it, but it just suddenly turns and suddenly, you know, you can just do it over and over. And once you've got that, you never forget it. It's like riding a bike. You know, once you know how to do it, you'll never forget it. So it is worth putting in the time, you know, to practice to get there. So that's probably what I'd say is my main thing.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. Would you agree? It's funny. I was talking to Magical G. It's funny that when you forget to realize how much practice you put in at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of your career, and sometimes when you look back and go, "Wow, like I didn't," you know, this was a lot of practicing I put in.
Yeah, definitely. Like there's some tricks, like, you know, the vanishing card. You know, where you're holding a card and you make it vanish, but you know, it's sort of. Yeah, that kind of trick where it's quite sleight of hand skillful in that, you know, you've got to get it in the correct position to vanish it and bring it back again. I remember doing that trick over and over again for like weeks and weeks, just walking around with a playing card in my hand, just doing it. And you do forget because now I can do it, you know, just like that, you know, click, snap your fingers and I can do it. But, you know, it took me, you know, a long time to actually get to where it is, but now, like I say, you just do it, you know, as and when. So yeah, there's definitely it's important to put the practice in to obviously get it right, because, you know, you don't want to mess up, and the more practice you put in, then you're not going to mess up. So
yeah, well, okay, I'm snapping now.
I'm going to start snapping too. Maybe that'll help.
I hope you've got the card in your hand practicing it right now.
All right. Hey, Simon, hey, thanks for the interview so far. We're really enjoying it. Just wondering if people want to find out more about you and, you know, anything that you got online, where should they go? And maybe talk a little bit about the project that you mentioned to us just before this interview as well.
Yeah, sure. Basically, well, my website, as you know, but I'll say it again anyway, because it's always good, is freemagictricksforyou.com. That's obviously the letter four and you, the number four, and the letter u.com. That's where my website is. Yeah, I've got a new project, sort of. It's a bit top secret at the moment, but it's basically going to be a membership site area on my site, and that's something that I've been working on for a fair few months now, and hopefully in the next few weeks that's going to be something that's I'm going to be rolling out, and hopefully it should be a lot of fun. So there's going to be some new tricks in there, some other bits and pieces that I'm going to keep secret for now, but yeah, that should be that's the next stage in my website anyway, so it should be good fun.
Awesome, sounds really exciting. Love to check it out. So I guess we've just got to keep on visiting freemagictricksforyou.com and keep our eyes peeled, I suppose.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I'll be sending out sort of newsletters and things, bits and pieces, so you'll get to hear of it. But when it comes live, there'll be a little membership link on my left nav bar, and it'll be right at the bottom, so you can't miss it. And so, yeah, that's basically where it's going. So
awesome. So, you know, if you're interested in something like that with Simon, make sure you visit his website, sign up to his newsletter, and keep your eyes peeled for that exciting, secretive membership site coming up. Very cool.
Definitely. I'm keeping it fairly close to my chest at the moment. Right. Because it's going to be fun. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet, but anyway.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, look, Simon, thank you so much for your interview and your time today. We've had a lot of fun, and you know, I hope we people at home have, you know, got a bit of advice from, you know, your personal performing and your thoughts on magic. And I think I had a great time.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. And yeah, I look forward to doing it again sometime.
No worries, man. Awesome. Thanks to you so much, Simon. So, what did you guys think? Pretty cool, huh? He had some really good thoughts and his advice on magic, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it too. And I think, you know, this is the kind of stuff that will really help you become a lot more successful in your journey to become a very profound and successful magician.
So there you go. There you go, guys. That's it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a great time interviewing him, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.